Cross Currents. I'm Allison Bechtesh, filling in for Carolyn Heldman. Joining me live in the studio this afternoon are Dr. Carrie Hauser, president of Colorado Mountain College, and Margaret Clement, assistant dean of instruction based on the Aspen campus. Thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to let you introduce yourself further. Carrie, will you begin? The president of Colorado Mountain College. So what does that mean you do first thing in the morning every day? What does your day look like? What are you tasked with taking care of?
Typically, I'm figuring out how far I'm driving someplace. We are obviously a college of, I call it 12 locations because we have a downtown Glenwood Springs administrative offices as well. So a day or two a week I'm there, but most often I'm trying to figure out what campus I'm on, what community I'm in. I tease that my office is a white Toyota Highlander. So that's really my role. I wake up and try to think about how we knit together this sort of organic, amoebic enterprise to serve the mountain communities in Colorado. And it's the best job I can possibly think of. I'm really lucky.
12 locations?
11 campuses and an administrative headquarters, yep.
Okay, wow. And then, Margaret, will you explain your job and then also the event coming up?
Absolutely. I, too, feel very fortunate. I'm an assistant dean of instruction at Colorado Mountain College Aspen campus, and I've been heading up the 50th steering committee with many, many people by my side helping me with all sorts of details that you can imagine would come up with an event this size. For my day job, I actually oversee instruction under arts and sciences, physical ed, and outdoor studies, and have a lot of work with teachers and faculty and students.
Outdoor studies, I would think, is very relevant to our listenership.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean?
It means avalanche awareness. We have many people that you might know. Scott Messina, who works for Mountain Rescue, teaches those avalanche courses. Farther down valley, we have more outdoor studies, especially through Spring Valley. Johan Arberger is there, and he's heading up those endeavors.
So I don't know if that was thought of 50 years ago. Let's go back in time. 50 years. How did the college as a whole get started?
Well, it is one of the best stories, I think, in higher education, and not just in Colorado, but in the country. And it started with a file folder. People have probably heard me tell the story in various different settings. But every time I tell it, I find another little twist to it and how special it is that one person thought to essentially execute on a vision. And we talk a lot about the founding father of Colorado Mountain College. His name is David Delaplane. And he was a local minister in Glenwood Springs. And he took a part-time job at the Glenwood Springs Chamber of Commerce to make ends meet as essentially the director of the chamber. And as the story goes, he pulled a file folder out of a filing cabinet that had nothing but a list of names in it. And he thought to himself, I wonder what these folks were working on. He was trying to get his bearings as he became the director of the Chamber of Commerce. And he found those folks, and essentially the vision was to start a college in the mountain communities. And in the early 60s, this was happening all over the country. We're unique in the fact that, you think about what the 12,000 square mile, nine county now footprint of Colorado Mountain College was 50 years ago. There was no I-70. Certainly there was no broadband. There were no cell phones. And this man, who will turn 90 this year and is still alive and well and has been a wonderful steward of history for us, we're considering him the Grand Marshal of the 50th anniversary this year, essentially said, well, let's go do it. And he and a group of men, really, ranchers and some counterparts up in Leadville, who were part of Climax Mine and essentially the key businesses at the time were oil and gas in Garfield County and Millennium at the Climax Mine in Leadville. And in order to start a college, a local college district, which is a taxing district, at the time, you had to have 400 high school graduates and you had to have a tax base of $60 million. The two main hubs for that were Garfield County and Lake, but you also had to have contiguousness. So, if that's a word. So, Summit Eagle and Pitkin, of course, were added to that to make it contiguous. And David tells a story of driving through the pastures of Aspen to get to Leadville, if you think about that 50 years ago. So over the next 2 years, they beat the bushes, traveled many, many miles over many mountain passes with not the conveniences of today. And the college was created in 1965, actually by a vote of 2-1. For people to tax themselves to have a higher education in the mountain communities.
The percentage-wise was 2-1 people in favor for supporting Colorado Mountain College.
In favor of the college. So pretty cool. So five county district at the time. We're now six. We include Rock County as well. We serve three of the additional counties, Grand, Jackson, and Chaffee counties. So we're 9 county, 12,000 square miles. And I say to David, who's about 4'11", I say we stand on the shoulders of giants. He is a remarkable individual. And the few sort of folks that said we should do this actually got it done. I mean, in our Spring Valley campus was the original West Campus, it was called then at the time. Our Leadville campus was the East Campus. Between them, about 1,000 acres of land was donated to the college to essentially start those first two campuses. And we've now grown into 11 campus system. We've served 500,000 students across in those 50 years. And we're celebrating something really special. You don't get to do this, but every 50 years. So we're pulling stories out of the woodworks. People are coming to Margaret's Point, our event this Friday afternoon from 3 to 7 at our Aspen campus. We certainly invite folks to join us for this history celebration. We're doing this at every one of our campuses, and we're in every one of our communities to celebrate who we've become. And our theme is because of you. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for some of these early pioneers. Would not be here for the listeners out there who are part of our property tax base, for the Aspen Ski Company and for all of the big companies out there that contribute to us. We really are dedicating this back to those who've made us possible. So it's a really exciting time.
So that's so neat that it was a multi-county thing from the onset. What were these guys who had this vision? What did they see lacking? So what were the early classes? Who were the early students?
Well, you can imagine in the early 60s, there were some draft dodgers. There were some miners. There were ranchers. If you think about what industry was at the time, you know, those were some of the early programs. They were trade. They were sort of direct applied skills programs. Always we've had an outdoor component, to Margaret's comment. You know, we've always had this. It's who we are. It is our DNA. We've always had outdoor programs, natural science programs, you know, forestry, the programs that are sort of innate to who we are. And then obviously we've built on those over time. There were early typing skills programs. I mean, anything from what you would think of would be sort of a true kind of direct to career applied program were some of the really early programs. And now obviously we have, you know, 120 plus programs. We have certificates, we have associates, we have bachelor's degrees, and they're all still very connected to our local workforce and our communities, and we do everything we can to try to contribute to the really rapidly changing workforce of Colorado.
Margaret, do you know the history of the Aspen campus specifically?
Absolutely, and to Carrie's point, the first classes were behind the Aspen police desk, and due to George Stryker, who set up shop there in 1967, so 2 years after all of this that Carrie mentioned took place, the first classes were creative design, sculpture, catering, mountaineering, like we mentioned, and even a class called the New Left, whatever that means. true to all the other campuses, really, their story is that we found places to have classes. If you didn't have a building, you still found a place to have a class. And so it was with us, too. We had offices briefly at the Aspen Ski Company, at the lift ticket office there, and offices at the old Beck and Bishop grocery store in the Wheeler Opera House, which is really neat. In 76, of course, we partnered with Aspen School District, and we then set up CHOP in the back of their building, and during the day they had class, and we had classes at night. In fact, many of our faculty who are still at Aspen taught at that facility. Really neat stuff. By the 80s, however, we focused on adult students now seeking associate degrees, and I think more and more as the years have gone by, we see more and more associate degree seeking students at our Aspen campus, along with our lifelong learners, and all sorts. That's what of students are what we see at our campus, which makes us very special, I think. We have almost 2,000 students a year. We serve them, high schoolers, adults learning English, traditional age college students, lifelong learners. And as Carrie mentioned, and I have to mention as well, this event is for all of these people that I've mentioned. This is why that 50th anniversary celebration is so special. It is for those people that make our jobs possible and make us able to help all these people realize their dreams, really.
You're listening to Cross Currents live on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh. My guests are Carrie Hauser, who's the president of Colorado Mountain College, and Margaret Clement. She's the assistant dean of instruction at the Aspen campus. We will be right back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Allison Bechtesh, filling in for Carolyn Heldman on Cross Currents. My guests today are Carrie Hauser, who is the president of Colorado Mountain College, and Margaret Clement, assistant dean of instruction here in Aspen. This week, they are putting on the celebration on the Aspen campus to celebrate 50 years of Colorado Mountain College. They're doing that all over the Colorado Mountain College facilities throughout the year. Thank you both again for coming in. I'm curious about this, the Aspen campus is such a beautiful building. When did it get moved and centered over there, and what had to come together to make that happen?
So in the late 90s, transition happened, and part of it was a partnership with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
So
for those of the listeners who've been in our Aspen campus, the Morgridge family name is over the entrance of the Academic Center. So we received one of the first $1 million gifts from the Morgridge Family Foundation at the time. But that was to really create a sort of a partnership between the campus and the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, which was great. And I do think it had been, at least my understanding, is that we just sort of had outgrown the location at the high school. Mm-hmm. It was time to sort of grow up and have our own facility with the help of John McBride and the Aspen Business Center and all the things that were growing at the time. We made a lot of sense. We're going through sort of those growing pains again. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the in the program, about sort of what's next, because we are also sort of, again, sort of bursting at the seams, and the campus is sort of used to capacity, and we've got some really incredible partnerships with the ski company and certainly with Walter Isaacson and our Isaacson School for New Media and the Aspen Institute. So maybe when we get to the future, the future, we can sort of loop back to that.
Well, I know both of you must spend most of all of your days talking about Colorado Mountain College. Do people understand what it is? Do you have to define, is it a community college? Is it just lifelong learning that doesn't come with a degree? Can you define that a little better for us? And I'll let you both speak to that.
I do it every day. I was just over at the Institute, and I was with a number of high school counselors and others that are part of Kathy Klug's sort of college symposium. We're speaking tonight at our Spring Valley campus. every single time I get a chance. And for even those of you out there that think you know the college, I suspect maybe there's an opportunity to sort of refresh your thinking. You know, we have always been a local district college. We were originally a junior college district. That has sort of, we've sort of grown out of that nomenclature, and even the community college component, I think we continue to be incredibly dedicated to the notion that we are of and about our communities, and we now also offer bachelor's degrees. But those are all very specifically in tune to our local workforces. We grow our own nurses. For those who are already in our valley and know how expensive it is to live and to work here, if you come from our communities and want to be a nurse, you're more likely to be successful as a nurse because you know what it means to be here. If you want to be a teacher and you come from any of our very high-cost mountain communities, you're more likely to understand what it's going to take to be a successful teacher. So our bachelor's degrees have also grown with us. They've grown with the workforce. We have sort of adapted to the demands of our local communities. We are a local district college. We're only one of two in the state, and we're very unique in the country in the event that I mentioned earlier that our local tax base had to be $60 million when we started. We're over $10 billion in local tax base now. I kid to David Delaplane that if he has a stock that I should bet on, I'd like to know what it is. It's certainly a long-term bet, but Aspen wasn't here or was really just getting started. Walter Pepke and the Aspen Ski Company and all the early iterations of that were just a thought sort of at the time. The Vail Corporation didn't exist. You know, Breckenridge didn't exist. So many of these assets that are now part of our communities sort of grew up with the college. So we have sort of ridden and been part of this community from the very beginning. And we'll continue to do that. So we've really grown up. The celebration of our 50th anniversary, certainly because of you, is our theme. But it's also how do we launch into the next 50 years? Yeah. And how do we sort of upgrade the thinking of folks? We've rebranded. Our look and feel is a little bit different. You may be noticing that. And it doesn't mean that we're not who we've always been, which is an open access place. Anybody can come and be successful. We're also a place that you can get a few of our degrees are the only degrees in the country, and they are located at the college. So,
Margaret, can you talk to that and also include how does it benefit Aspen or any local economy and on any of these campuses to have a Colorado Mountain College as part of the community?
Well, for one thing, our art program, one reason we're highlighting our art is because we have a tremendous art program in partnerships with various art, such as Anderson Ranch. And we have a cadre of high-level teachers who have their MFAs from all over the country, and they're teaching at levels that you would see in New York or at a giant city. So that's one reason why we think that we're contributing to the economy insofar as we are offering this tremendous value, not just because our tuition stays reasonable, but because we have this high level of instruction. To speak to just the things that Aspen is doing with the community or with our partners, the local high schools work with us with dual enrollment, so students in high school can get credit for college, some of whom actually graduate from college at the same time that they graduate from high school. We also, I should mention, we recently partnered with Carbondale as our sister campus. So we are actually an Aspen Carbondale campus. We think that partnership will be useful for students because they will begin to sort of see what can I do? What can I do at once to get my degree between Carbondale and Aspen? So we're trying to set a little new mindset. Your EMT that you might pick you up because you got in trouble, that's probably a CMC student. So we're contributing to the economy in that way, insofar as ESL. So we have also a very robust ESL program. In fact, ours in Basalt that runs in Basalt is the largest in all of the 12 sites. We're very fortunate to have also about 10 dedicated teachers who work with them. We have partnerships with the Aspen Music Festival, robust partnerships. In fact, in the summer, we'll be having another kind of event like this with them, celebrating Carrie and Alan Fletcher's relationship and a class that we've been running forever because of them. because of you, right?
I'm curious, since we're at 50 years, to look at the long-term ebbs and flows, though. You know, has the fact that there's been a college in these, I mean, Aspen, mm-hmm. population-wise, is a rural community, mm-hmm. and we have an education, a higher ed source right here. When the economy fails and people lose jobs, is that someplace they can turn to get new skills and enter their workforce again? Are you employing people who otherwise wouldn't have employment by having a, they can teach here? You know, how does it play in with the larger economy, and especially over the course of 50 years?
You know, we've ebbed and flowed with the community and with certainly with the economy. We're sort of counter cyclical to the economy, though. Huh. So during the recession was some of the highest enrollments we've ever had, and I think it speaks to your question. When people are out of work, guess what they do? They go to school. Mm-hmm. And with us, we are the absolutely most affordable institution in the state of Colorado, particularly if you live in our taxing district, $65 a credit hour. Just to give some perspective of that, if you were to enter first-time freshman at the University of Colorado, and this is in no way a negative statement, but it's over $300 a credit hour. So we know that the value proposition of what we do and what people need, you know, they can take a yoga or a Zumba class. And I tell you, I get more calls about the canceled Zumba class than I do anything else. But, you know, you can certainly do that lifelong learning. But when life throws you a big curveball, you know, we are an incredibly affordable place. We are a place where local high school kids, to Margaret's comment, you know, where else can you get, for the most part, a post-secondary credential, or have an associate degree in your hand before you even graduate from high school? Whether you stay with us for your bachelor's degree or you transfer someplace else, that is an incredible value proposition. So there certainly have been periods of time, as I have been dusting off all the history and really understanding the scope of the last five decades, where the college, there has been some question, because you look at your local tax bill and you see that there is a line for Colorado Mountain College. And every time I'm with a group and every time I have an audience like the one today to say thank you, we also hope that we're returning on the investment that property tax payers contribute to us by virtue of we make the communities a better place. There is a cultural component. There is an education component. There's something for everyone at the college, whether you take a class, whether you're one of our adjunct faculty members. You know, we have Fortune 500 CEOs that teach mm-hmm. classes for us because they have second homes here in Aspen or in some other
and
part of
classes.
Our... And take classes. And take them over and over and over again, yeah. Which I always find is so interesting, you know, the same class. So, you know, I think we have sort of ridden those cyclical tides, and hopefully we've actually helped buffer when the economy's actually, you know, made a real dent on some of our communities.
Yeah, we've worked with Health and Human Services to actually provide go-to-work workshops so that people that are out of work can get those kinds of skills.
You're listening to Cross Currents live on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh. My guests today are Carrie Hauser, who's the president of Colorado Mountain College, and Margaret Clement. She's the assistant dean of instruction. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh. Live in the studio with me right now are Carrie Hauser, who's the president of Colorado Mountain College, and Margaret Clement, assistant dean of instruction. We're talking about Colorado Mountain College's 50th year in existence. The anniversary celebrations are this Friday at the Aspen campus. I did a story recently actually about the ESL programs and that some of those rates were going up. You just mentioned how tuition is the lowest per credit in the state, and that taxpayers are giving to Colorado Mountain College. So I'm wondering a little bit about your funding structure. You know, are you underfunded? You know, if you're keeping your rates low and you're relying on taxes, how do you make sure you have that steady base for the future?
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful question. You know, it's an interesting conundrum for us because we are so unique in our funding structure. Colorado has unfortunately fallen to 49th in the country in funding higher education, and there's a whole host of reasons we could spend another session on. but it's fallen very quickly in the last decade or so. We used to be in the top 10 or 15. Most of that's constitutional. It's just how our constitutional
constitution.
The Gordian knot of our budget. Okay. And higher education is really one of the only discretionary components. So our cousin institutions out there have really, really had to wrestle with this. We are a little bit different in the fact that we do have a corpus that is a local funding base. We do get some money from the state, and then tuition is really the only component of our budget that we have any control over. I think it is very fair to say that our trustees at the college have a sincere commitment to make sure that we continue to be the lowest, truly the most affordable, high-value college in the state. And we also have room to grow our tuition in a way that doesn't impact particularly the students that it would hurt the most. We're very fortunate in terms of the CMC Foundation and scholarships and the opportunity that students who might be impacted by increased rates, if they are, we have sources of funding to sort of buffer that. We're also such an affordable institution that students still have room to grow in their tuition and still get full financial aid from the federal government, certainly from us. So there's just not going to be a gap in there. So we do think that we've got some flexibility in there to grow. And we are also subject to really, kind of big ebbs and flows in the economy. Oil and gas is a big part of our budget right now, and we're down about $4 million in our budget because of production. And you can have a sort of a political conversation about that, and at the same time, it is part of our budget. We are going to be facing something called the Gallagher Amendment, which will also impact our budget because we are a local taxing district. Water districts, fire districts, others that are probably going to be impacted by this as well. So we're going to start hitting the street on this particular topic. So those things do impact us, and where we can make up some difference is in tuition. And we will always be very sensitive to affordability, to high value, and to making sure that particularly our lowest income and at-risk students feel no harm. And in fact, we've been able to actually do better by our students in the fact that 3 years ago, we instituted something called the Mountain Futures Fund and the President's Scholarship. Every single local high school graduating student in our 12,000 square miles gets a personalized letter from me offering them instant admission to the college and a $1,000 scholarship. So we do believe that we continue to offer real incentives to come to the college and will continue to be very affordable.
Margaret, we just have 1 minute left, literally, and we will link to the event and to the Colorado Mountain College website so people can find out more. But in these last 60 seconds, was there something that was really special to you as you were planning to make sure was honored or highlighted during this 50-year celebration?
Absolutely. So we have 50 years of art in our gallery right now, which represents just a tremendous amount of history, and we want to honor those people. Some have left us, have passed away. Others are still working and alive and well, and that's our tribute to the community, is trying to show you how much we appreciate youth through our art, through 50 years of art. I'd mentioned Kay Cesark as well, who's done the curating for that show, and we're really proud.
Thank you both so much for coming in to spend the time with me this afternoon. Live in the studio right now are Carrie Hauser, who's the president of Colorado Mountain College, and Margaret Clement, assistant dean of instruction. They're throwing a big party on Friday for Colorado Mountain College. You can hear this show again, if you missed part of it, on our website, aspenpublicradio.org. This is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. I'm Allison Bechtesh. Thanks for listening.